Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. O gracious Lord, please may your word light up our path. May it teach us, rebuke us, correct us and train us in righteousness for the sake of your living word, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be back with you again. And today as we come towards the end of a series in Psalm 119, a series that was entitled Singing, about reading a journey through Psalm 119. If you ask my wife Chris afterwards, singing is not my forte. But I always reply, well, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord joyfully. It doesn't say tunefully. That's my excuse. Singing is a key part of our faith. Paul encourages the Ephesian church that they are to speak to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And the Colossians are to let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to the God with gratitude in your hearts. And so as a people of God then, we are a people who should be singing. Singing the praises of God to God and to one another as we build each other up in faith. Singing is a God-given way of encouraging faith in each other. And so it's good that you're going through Psalm 119. You've looked at honour and shame, freedom and comfort, affection and understanding, waiting and wisdom. And then last week, understand guidance and support. And so tonight we look at these verses we've just heard from Psalm 119, which speak of truth and eternity. So please do follow that with me, please. Psalm 119, I think it's page 621 in the Church Bibles. And firstly then, the truth of God's Word. God's Word is life-giving. It was a mistake, so claims the MP Michael Gove, having put himself forward as a candidate for the leadership of the Conservative Party, possible Prime Minister. He claims it was a mistake when he took cannabis some 20 years ago, while at the same time writing an article saying what a terrible thing it was for middle-class men to do this kind of thing. 20 years on, Michael Gove regrets his mistake. There are those supposedly on the same side as him, members of the Conservative Party, members of Parliament, who now think this mistake of 20 years ago should bar him from office. Can he be trusted? I was tempted to ask, can any politician be trusted? A mistake some 20 years ago can blemish a person's character. How many of our MPs can claim they've never made a mistake? Are any of us whiter than white? Is there something in my past, in your past, when we've made a mistake which might make us unsuitable for service today? Can we be trusted? And what about God? Can God be trusted? What about his record? Well, verse 137, righteous are you, Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you've laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. God's laws are right. His statutes are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. For so is God himself. God's word, his laws are fully righteous and trustworthy. For this is God's character. This is what God himself is like. His word and his law reveal who God is and his character. He is truthful and he's righteous. Unlike Michael Gove and unlike the rest of human beings, God is totally righteous and utterly trustworthy. That's his character. And therefore his word, the statutes and laws of Scripture are also trustworthy and righteous. St. Stephen Sinfin, we recently carried out a very simple questionnaire among the mums at our toddler group. And we asked what they found helpful at church. And we rejoiced, they said they enjoyed coming along to the toddler group and hearing the Bible stories every Monday morning. We then asked what they thought of it when it came to the church and Christianity. One of the replies said that they would like to think these stories in the Bible are true. They enjoyed the stories, and they'd love to think that they were true. But how can we be sure that these stories in the Bible are true? It's some dusty old book, isn't it? A bit out of date. It's all made up, isn't it? That's what some people think. Chris and I recently spent a couple of days holiday in Cambridge. And as we walked past one of the colleges, we noticed a plaque on the wall, and it marks the spot where I think it was four Cambridge dons met together in a pub at the beginning of the Reformation. The origins of the Church of England, based on the Word of God. And it struck me how often we hear that charge that the Christian faith is for those who haven't thought it through. No. That plaque reminded me that these were leading minds of the day. And they found God's word to be utterly trustworthy and righteous. The Bible, God's word, is righteous and true. And this is God's character. This is who God is. He alone is righteous and trustworthy. And so is his word. His law and his statutes are trustworthy and they're true. We can trust this because his servants have found this. My zeal wears me out, verse 139, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested and your servant loves them. It's not that we're always on holiday, but just a few weeks ago at the end of May we spent some time in Scarborough and Bridlington, the places we've been to many times in the past in our lives. They're places on the east coast of Yorkshire which have been tested time and time again. We zealously return. And that's how it should be with God's word, isn't it? God's promises in his word have been thoroughly tested, so that his servants love this word with the zeal that wears them out. I wonder if you and I have that zeal for the word of God. That excitement that as we open the pages of Scripture, we're excited to think, what will God say to me this time? Do you have that desire to share God's word with others? God is a God who is righteous and his word is trustworthy. Because over time his promises have been thoroughly tested and proven. His promises to bless his people, to rescue them and send a saviour. And his promise that yes, in Jesus Christ, God fulfills his promises. How many of our politicians can make that claim to have kept their promises? Have you and I been found to keep all our promises? Oh, we can't be 100% sure that it was King David who wrote the psalm, but just look at King David. He was called as a shepherd boy to be king and defeated King Goliath because he trusted God's promises. Even when King Saul was against him, David continued to be faithful and found God's promises to be proven and true. Even when David messed up his life and he made a mistake, committing adultery and then murder, David knew what he'd done. He had no excuse, he couldn't undo it. Yet God was faithful to him as a repentant sinner. And God forgave him because of his promises of his everlasting love. When David faced his enemies, even from within his own family, David knew God's promises to be faithful and true. He knew God to be righteous and trustworthy. God's promises were proven time and again. It's the testimony of the author of this psalm, whether King David or someone else. Verse 141, though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. The author describes himself as being lowly and despised, no claim to self-grandeur. And Jesus himself knew this to be true as he was tempted by Satan. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. All who are lowly and despised, who seek to follow Jesus, will know the truth and the righteousness of God and his word. God's word and his law, his character, are righteous and everlasting and true. Surely that's enough to make us sing as a people, isn't it? And so even though the follower of Jesus might experience trouble and disaster, yet the commands of God give delight to them. In 2016, our youngest daughter gave birth to her third son, our fifth grandchild. Phoenix lived for just a few minutes. He had an encephalus. We arrived at the hospital after Phoenix had died. I held him in my arms and remember clearly that it was only the promises of God and his resurrection that helped to make sense of that time of suffering. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. So yes, there will be tears and there will be pain, but there will also be delight in the commands of God. And where else can we find such a sure and certain hope? This is what we find to be true in Scripture. Throughout the story of the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, King David, and many more, witnesses to the goodness of God and the delight of his word, even through times of suffering. Throughout the witness of Jesus and his followers through the New Testament, despite man's unworthiness and evil and sin all around, God's righteousness and truth is everlasting, even in times of distress. And that brings delight and leads to just one conclusion, verse 144. Your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding that I may live. The truth of God's word is life-giving. So let us ask, like the psalmist, that we may have that understanding, that we may live. And if you found that God and his word is righteous and true, the stories of the Old and New Testament, the experience of Christians, has that been true in our own lives? Have we sought that understanding that we might live, not by bread alone, but by the word of God? God's word is true, and this true word gives life. And let us sing it out that others will hear this amazing truth. And secondly, the eternity of God's word. God's word is reliable. As a vicar, I'm often asked to give references for people, particularly with regard to employment. Inevitably, what inquirers want to know is this person reliable? One of the frustrations of life today can be when you text someone or leave a message on the answer phone or send an email or write a letter and you don't get a reply. I find it more and more difficult to find tradesmen who are reliable, who will turn up when they say they will and do what you agree. The loop system recently broken at St. Stephen's. We did find a reliable firm. So the engineer arrived on Thursday morning as promised at 8:15 in the morning, all the way from Lancashire with the new loop box. Who do we know who's reliable? Are we reliable? Heard recently also of a couple of cases where elderly people have fallen and they've called out for help. Is anyone there to hear? And if anyone hears, will they come? Will they hear my cry? Will they answer my cry? Are they reliable? But what about God? Does God hear my cry? Does God answer my cry? Is God reliable? Psalmist says yes, verse 145. I call with all my heart, answer me, Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. Neither I will obey your decrees or keep your statutes or bargaining chips on behalf of the caller. So, Lord, if you do answer, then I will obey your decrees. I will keep your commands. Rather they're to be seen as a right response to a faithful God who hears when we call out and who saves or heals when we call out. God is reliable. God always hears our cry and he always answers our cry forever, eternally. That doesn't mean that there won't be times when it appears that God is deaf and he's ignoring our cry. But you remember how God heard the cry of his people when they were enslaved by the Egyptians. The people had been enslaved and were crying out for 400 years. The people cried out throughout their time in exile for 70 years. And while they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. How much easier we think it would be if only God would hurry up and answer my call now. Now, not in a few years' time. Our nation and the world cried out for peace and an end of war throughout World War II. And yet so often as we look back, can we not see that God's hand is in those events? During our times of trial and pain, can we not see the Lord walking with us, even through times of trouble? I'm sure many of you will have heard of the poem Footprints, a popular poem based in Christian belief describing an experience where a person is walking on a beach with God. And they see a set of footprints in the sand which represents various stages of their life. The footprints show two trails dwindling to one at times, and those times are when there have been times of hopelessness and despair. When questioning God, believing that the Lord must have abandoned his love during those times, God gives the explanation. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Verse 145, I call with all my heart, answer me, Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. The Lord is reliable. He always hears the cry of his people and answers the call. He's eternal and reliable. I think I have something of a reputation, particularly with my family, when it comes to using public transport. If the bus leaves at 10 o'clock, I'm usually there in plenty of time for the one previous to it. I wonder if that's true when it comes to catching God. Do we get there early, or are we on the last minute? You see, it's because the psalmist has put his hope in the eternal word of God that he rises before dawn and cries for God's help, trusting that God will hear and respond to his cry. How many times can we be too busy to spend time with God and his word? And then when things go wrong, we try all kind of fixes, don't we, until finally we cry out to God. Why has God allowed this to happen? Why doesn't he do something? The psalmist meditates on the promises of God, even in the endless hours of the night, that the Lord would hear and answer his cry according to his law. Verse 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your laws. God's word is true and trustworthy. It is eternal and reliable, just like God himself. So we're able to trust him and hope in him. A trust and a hope that is seen in our devotion and dedication to God's word. And so we rise before dawn and spend the night with eyes open as we meditate on his word and his promises. For some that will mean rising before the dawn and meditating into the late hours of the day. But surely this is more a picture of a daily routine whenever we make the time to be with God and meditate upon his word. So that when we do cry out, we know and trust that the Lord is reliable and he will hear our cry and answer us. Therefore we obey his decrees and we keep his statutes, for this is our hope in the eternal and reliable word of God. The word of God who is himself eternal and reliable. Many young people today are going through a testing time, literally. It's the time of year when they sit exams. They'll have been up at late into the night, perhaps up early in the morning, meditating on the subject they're studying. For some that will be a source of joy. They enjoy exams. For others it's a toil. But for the people of God, we're called to spend time with the Word of God. The prayerful Bible Sunday reminds us, Blessed Lord, who has caused all scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. The word of God, Holy Scripture, has been written for our learning, that as we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word of God, meditate upon the law of God day and night, His eternal, true and reliable word will provide us with comfort and hope. Paul writes to the Colossians, So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That was something the Apostle Paul knew, and he was so keen to pass on to the next generation. Something David had known, even when he'd sinned, the eternal, reliable word of God. It reminded of his sin, but it also pointed to God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. David knew the pain of enemies who taunted him, even when they were members of his own family. Yet he sought and found comfort through the word of God. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, from Psalm 23. David meditated on God's word, knowing it to be eternal and true and above all reliable, like God himself. So what Daniel found, isn't it? Daniel meditated on God's word, so that when he was faced with issues of who to worship, it was a no-brainer, even though he was to be thrown into the lion's den. His friends Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when faced with burning furnace, said to the king, We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of the gold you've set up. Peter and John in Acts 4, when told not to speak any more of the risen Jesus, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him, you be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. All these and many others, they meditated day and night on the eternal promises of God that gave them hope in God, in his eternal, trustworthy, true and righteousness. Should not we also then be devoted to God's word, to his promises? Should we not be meditating upon them day and night? That we would trust and hope in God, that we can cry out to a faithful God with confidence? Are we devoted to the word of God? Do we trust that word? Is that what we sing? Is that what gives us hope? Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, Lord, and your commands are true. We often live in difficult and confusing times. The political scene of our nation appears in turmoil, polarized and divided. Wicked schemes are being devised even by those within the same party. Schemes are afoot to offer tax relief to the rich, while many live in poverty. If you look at social media, it's full of hatred and bullying, wicked schemes. There's confusion about identity and gender that appears so near to us and so far from the word of God. Look around at the church and the Church of England, this diocese. Even here there can be wicked schemes which are a long way away from the righteous, true and eternal law of the Lord, and which are far too close for comfort. And so we cry out to the Lord, for the Lord is near. As we meditate upon the word of God day and night, then we can say with the psalmist, verse 152, Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Now the word of God is eternal and reliable, true and righteous. So let us learn to sing and read God's word, that as we journey through life, we might continue to meditate on the Word of God and discover His Word to be righteous, reliable, true and eternal. For this is the God who sends His Word to us. May this be our song. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word, for Your written Word that we can meditate upon day and night, and for Your living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. May Your Word dwell in us richly, making us wise unto salvation, teaching us its truth and righteousness, its eternal joy and reliability, that we may be rebuked and corrected and trained in righteousness, that in all things we would give You honour, praise and glory. For Jesus' sake. Amen.